Good evening and welcome. It's certainly good to be here. I have really enjoyed today. I enjoyed being and meeting here with you brothers and sisters. And then I also went and was in the home with Brother Mark and his wife, family. And I really appreciate all the warm welcome that each and every one of you have extended to me. It's a joy and a privilege to come to Alabama. I don't know, but it's just the welcome that we get and the kindness. It does me a lot of good. It makes me feel good. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the warm welcome that you give unto me and my family. I want to say this, that I hope that in this series of meetings that I can say something that will spark a little uplift in our life, that will cause us to know a little more about serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is very important that we do the best that we can in order to serve Him. You know, if we just kind of do our halfway at best, it just doesn't get it done. To serve the Lord the way that He is wanting us to do, we got to be a little peculiar. Don't you think? The Scriptures tell us that we are a peculiar people. The peculiar people are the ones that have been obedient unto the Lord, that have obeyed the gospel, heard the word, believed it, repented of their sins, confessed Christ, have been born again. We become peculiar. We're in a world where that Satan is everywhere we turn. I don't know of anywhere that we can go that Satan is not there. Now, you may disagree with that, but I believe that Satan is everywhere around us. We go to the job, Satan's on the job, he's there. There's those that are trying to pull us away to do things that is not according to God's Word. We go to the grocery store. You know, we run into people sometimes in the grocery store that we know that are workers for Satan. It's not all the time, but, you know, he's there. He can be in the church, too. Many times, Satan is in the church. So the point is this, that we need to be aware and be a peculiar people and look a little different from those that are out in the world. Do we? Do we look different? We're supposed to be a Christian. There's others out in the world that call themselves Christians also. But are they? We're Christians because we follow the Bible pattern that is set forth for us and we don't vary from it. We follow it according to what He has told us to do, not adding to nor taking away. So the question we want to ask tonight, does anyone know that you're a Christian? Well, let us look at this and see. What about this? Does a Christian, do we often find ourselves, oftentimes it's hard to distinguish us as a Christian from someone else. The question is this, do we look any different? Not often. Think about that. You know, we claim to be a Christian, we go out in the world, and we're around other people, do we really look different? Not always. Not always do we look different. Do we speak different? Well, you know, we don't curse. Christians don't curse. They don't use the Lord's name in vain. And we try to watch our language and watch idle words. But really, we don't speak that much different from those in the world, do we? You know, sometimes it's very hard to tell us that we're different. Do we act different? Do we act different from those that are out in the world? Well, oftentimes, that if we do, it's not to the point to where that others see a great big deal of difference in us than from anyone else. You know, the whole fact of the matter, the truth is that we, most of the time, want to blend in, don't we? Think about it. We want to blend in with those that are around us. You know, we don't want to be rejected. It's a problem with the heart. It's the problem within us. We don't want to be looked at as weird, do we? We don't want to be rejected. We don't want to have our friends, our associates, those that are around us, even our neighbors, we don't want to be looked down on like that we are different, do we? But are we? A Christian is to be a peculiar person. Think about it. We don't want to be thought of as weird. I've heard it said before many times. Well, that's a weird bunch over there. What they teach, what they believe, they are an odd bunch and they're weird as can be. A Bible-thumping people and they're weird. Well, you know, we're a peculiar person, aren't we? A Christian is. So we're going to be talked about. Are we really different? Are we really different from those that are out in the world? Think about it. Here's the problem, or part of the problem. Most people that claim to be Christian, a lot of them, want just enough faith, just enough religion, just enough Christianity to be on speaking terms with God. You know, Lord, Lord, listen to what I need and what I want. I want to hold hands with you, but I want to hold hands also with these over here just a little. Think about it. Not enough to really make a radical change in the way that we live. We don't want to do that. We want to be just kind of on speaking terms with God. Now, we've probably got to the problem, gotten to the big question that we ask. Does anyone know that you're a Christian? Do they? The people that you come in contact with, the ones that you're around in your daily life, not the brothers and sisters sitting here beside you, but I'm talking about when we go out in the workplace, when we go to the grocery store, when we go on a vacation, wherever it is that we might go, people that we come in contact with, do they look at us and after being around us, do they know that we're a Christian? What I'm asking is this. Think about it. I'm not asking if people know you go to church. It's a wonderful blessing, and it does me a lot of good to see the unity and the love that you have here, one for another, and the church is working together. What a blessing it is. We know that. Others see us go to church. But, on the other hand, they go to church too. See? So, that's not the question. Is it, I'm not asking if people know your general religious preferences. There's those out in the world. You know, they have their preferences, and so we have our preferences. We want to follow God, of course. But that's still not the question. That's not what we're asking. What we're asking is this. Are you a servant and walking in the footsteps of that man that's named Jesus? That's the whole matter. Following Jesus. That's where we are headed with this. Are you following the man named Jesus? Brother Chad just finished up a series of sermons over at Taylor's Crossroad, walking in the steps of Jesus, and I certainly enjoyed that so much, that which I got to hear. And what he brought was so much the truth. We that follow Christ, we have to follow him in his footsteps. He leaves a trail for us to follow, and it's right here in this book. And to be a Christian, we got to follow it. We got to follow it to the fullest, to the best of our ability. What I'm asking here, I'm asking if they know you're a Christian by your lifestyle. How about the lifestyle that you are living? I'm asking if they know you're a Christian because your faith in Christ, it moves us, it pushes us, it causes us to speak and act in a way that's different from those out in the world. Think about it. Think about it. What I'm asking is this. What I really want to know is what people know about you from the life that you present to the world. Not what you claim, but what you live. Oh, there's a lot of people that claim, you know, this and that, but then, you know, they go on off and they do other things. They change. Today, we live in a very immoral world. Immorality is all around us. Everywhere you look. I mean, it's everywhere. You can't go anywhere without seeing certain immoral people that are dressed immoral, that are saying things that is terrible. We're in a world that's full of this. We live in a world where there's nothing, you know, that's immoral anymore. Everything goes. Everything goes. I was talking today, Brother Mark and I was talking, we were there about, I went to the hospital with my daughter. She broke out in a rash and it really bothered me, and we rushed her up to the hospital and it wasn't nothing serious. But while I was there in the waiting room, you know, sitting there for hour after hour, I see people coming in. And in the hospital, those that come in that are so immoral in dress is terrible. In the hospital. I wouldn't have thought that you would see that in the hospital. But yes, it's everywhere. Immoral world. Everywhere we turn, nothing is held back. Everything goes now. It's just getting worse and worse. Think about it. We live in an immoral world. What about the TV program? I don't know where the television industry is going, but I'm going to tell you this. This is just my opinion. And to begin with, before I say anything about it, I've got a television in my house. In fact, I've got three of them. But I want to tell you this. It's getting hard to where you can turn your TV on and sit and watch TV without seeing something that a Christian doesn't need to put before their eyes. It's full of filth. You commercials. I mean, you sit and watch the news, and a commercial will come on with some half-dressed woman on there trying to promote whatever. They sell lawnmowers. They got to have somebody on there that's nude to sell them. It's terrible. And you just, you know, it's just getting worse and worse. It's not getting better and better. You have shows on there that advocate wife swapping, and that has become a pretty regular thing with some people. Shows that advocate gays and lesbians. Dancing with the Stars. I mentioned this one time before, that is one of the most immoral programs that's on. And I hear a lot of people that's in the church talking about it. How did they, not here, but I've heard it in other places, where that, oh, did you see so-and-so and watch this, and what's happening? Maybe we're getting just desensitized to the point where that anything goes. That's the way the world is. But I'm going to tell you this, a Christian is a peculiar person and is not going to put these things before their eyes. We need to be very, very careful with what we let our children sit down and watch. See what goes in the mind of a child when they're just real little. It'll stay with them from now on until they die. Be very careful about what you let your children watch. And you need to be very careful about what you watch. Because we do. We live in a very immoral world. Your soap channels on TV. You think about it. What does it promote? What does the soap channels promote? And some people get hooked on them and they just can't stand to miss, you know, whatever those shows are. They promote adultery, they promote fornication, all of these immoral things that a Christian should have no part in, none whatsoever. We don't need to put these things before our eyes. In Psalms 101 and 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me. What's David saying? He's telling us that we better be very, very careful when we turn that TV on, or when we maybe go to the beach. Maybe it's where you know all things are. Wherever it might be, we need not to set these things before our eyes. Be very careful. What's going to happen to this world? Where has our morals gone? What about 10 years from now? What's going to happen? The way it's going now, 10 years from now, we're going to all be in a nudist colony life. Nobody's going to worry about clothing. None whatsoever. It's getting worse and worse. And the problem that I see, and it's just me, I believe that this is truly the problem. You know, we're around it. And as this morning we were talking about that, we don't need to associate with those out in the world. I mean, we have to go to work with them and hang around them to a degree, but we need to prefer one another. But what's happening is the world is becoming more immoral. The clothing is getting more to the point of where there's less and less, and we become desensitized. You think about it. I remember when all of these things, when a dress on a woman, and don't get me wrong, men can dress immodest too, but we're talking about the dress of a woman right now. I remember when it was low, way down, and it come up, and we get a little more accustomed to it. And, you know, we talk about it for a few months and a year or two, and then that's okay, and then it gets a little short, and oh, we say something again. And then after a few months and a few years, you know, it gets okay. And it's because we're around it, and we watch it, and we begin to accept it. A Christian is different from those in the way of the world. We don't want to accept these things. We want to stand up. And that's what makes us different from those that are out in the world. Let us talk about sexual immorality in this immoral world. It's very important. This is very important for us. This is why that it's important. The reason that it is important is that our bodies are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You think about that. See, our body is a temple. God dwells within us. Before, he was in the tabernacle. They had to go in to pray to him to see God there. Now, God no more dwells in temples of men, temples that were built with hands, but he dwells within you and I. So why is immoral acts terrible in our body? Well, the reason being is what I said. It is the temple. It is the temple of God because we have been bought by Christ. Christ shed his blood. He died for us. And he said that when we are obedient to him and we obey the gospel, that he comes and dwells within us. So he's not going to dwell in a temple that's impure. No, that's immoral. He's not going to do it. We are living in an immoral world. We need to be very careful that we don't get caught up in that. Sexual morality is one of the key ways of showing dishonor to our Lord. Or it can be the way that we show honor to Him. That's in our body. The way that we the way that we dress, the way that we act. It's very important because it does matter how we live. Think about it. It matters how we live. Fornication. It's gotten to the point now to where when a person gets up to the age and starts thinking about a mate, you know, there's a lot of people now that are encouraging them to go and find you one and live with them a while and see if you like them, and if you don't, then move on and go to another. Fornication. Fornication is a sexual act. It's an intercourse by an unmarried person with a married or an unmarried person. Fornication is condemned in the Bible. 35 times it's mentioned in the King James Version. Adultery. It's an act of sexual intercourse by a married person with a married or unmarried person. It's mentioned 33 times. It's two different acts. We have to be very, very careful about our lifestyle and our body, how we live. We need to realize the importance of living a moral life for our Lord and Savior. In Matthew 5:28, it says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, committeth adultery with her already in his heart." Whosoever looketh upon a woman commits adultery. We know that there's going to be no adultery in heaven. In Luke 18:20, it tells us, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." Look at Galatians. Galatians 5:19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." 2 Peter 2:14. "Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children." In Job 31:1-11. Job 31:1-11. It says here, and I want us to look at this very closely. It says, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" You know what a covenant is? Understand that. Made agreement. Make an agreement to God that I'm not going to look upon these certain things. Second verse. "For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know my integrity. If my steps have turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow, and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down unto her. For this is a heinous crime, yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges." I want to say this, that here in Job, where he's talking about that eyes full of adultery, that means eyes that desire and look upon the lustful act of others. We have to be very, very plain with ourselves and with God that we will not do these things. Make a covenant with your eyes. This goes back to what I was talking about, what you watch on TV. Wherever it might be, maybe it's a moving picture show. Wherever you go, we need to be very careful what we set before our eyes. We need to be careful. Think about it. It matters how we live. It really matters having eyes full of adultery. We know no adultery is going to enter into heaven. Think about it. We need to be very careful with our unchaste look. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, most of us would be probably better off, or we feel like we might be a little better off, if the Lord didn't inquire into our lives and say, Danny, what are you doing? You know, I read the scriptures and sometimes I want to push it aside. But that doesn't change God's word. Just because we push it away and try to avoid it, God knows all. He sees all. He's there. He knows our affairs. He knows what we're doing. He knows how we're acting. You know, a lot of people, they want to be saved. They want to be saved. They want to be happy. But the problem is they don't really want to act saved. They want Him to save them and keep them happy and take them to heaven, but don't inquire too much into my lifestyle, what we're doing. And this is a problem. This is a great problem with the church. It is. There's a lot of people who want to be saved, but they don't want to act saved. People who want to be called holy, but they don't want to act holy. They don't want to live a holy life. And people who want to argue theology, but they don't want to have to go to the trouble to live godly. Think about it. Some of the greatest problems with the church today: failure in the home. Think about it. Failure in the home. Our young people are the church of tomorrow. Our young people are going to be the ones that are the leaders and teachers in the church tomorrow. It's our responsibility to teach them and to bring them up in a way that they will live godly. That's the way a Christian acts. He acts in front of them in a godly manner, teaching them about godly things so that they will be godly when they grow up. Teaching our children. But failure in the home, failure to teach our children, is going to be failure in the church. You can mark that down. How many people become new members of Christ's body that are outside our family? Very, very few. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It does occasionally. But how many walk off the street, people that we just come in contact with in the world, that are not members of our family that become a member of the church? No, it's not that many. Very, very few. I remember a time when people did have an interest in the church and would come and listen and would obey the gospel. And they were not members of family members. Now it's our children. And if we're not careful by the way that we live and the way that we act, and especially the way that we teach our children in our home, at some point in time the church is going to dwindle away. We need strong teaching. Strong teaching equals strong members, a strong church. Weak teaching equals weak members in a weak church. Think about it. Failure in the home. Failure in teaching doctrinal issues, especially in the home. We need to do it in the church too. But especially to our children. Oh, I worry about my children, my grandchildren. I do. I worry about them growing up and leaving the church. And I've seen this already happen. But that worries me. It just really, it tears me up. that my children and my grandchildren could possibly lose their souls. And they will, if they're not very careful. We need to make sure that they know and that they understand doctrinal issues. What's going to happen when these little children get up, some of these are already up, and you've got friends, and your friends ask you, you know, won't you come with me this Sunday and go to church with me? What you going to do? You know that we are not to go and fellowship around the Lord's table with those that are not members of Christ's body? Do we know and do we understand that? Do our children know that? Or do they say, well, I'll go with you this time and you come and go with me. I've heard that. Well, they're going to come and go with me. Brethren, we need to teach our children not to be rude, not to be ugly, not to be mean, but teach them to where that they'll know that these doctrinal things that these people out in the world are teaching, that they're wrong. We can't go and meet with these that have Sunday school, Second Supper, marriage and divorce, all of these doctrinal issues. We can't do that. And we need to teach our children that. We need to teach ourselves also. Very, very important. Brother Tony Whitten had an article back 2 months ago in the paper that they put out, and it was really good about how important it is to teach these doctrinal issues. Very good. I think that it is something that we kind of get lax on. We think that Brother So-and-so over here, he knows. He knows what's right and wrong. He knows about the church. But really, does he? Well, you know, some of us do. Some of us do know. Some of us here know. But there may be some that don't know. And we take it for granted. Wasn't too long back, there was a sister who had been in the church for years and years and years. And she made the statement that she didn't know how to tell somebody to become a member of the church. I'm going to tell you this. If we do not know how to tell somebody that we come in contact with out in the world how to become a member of the church, we need some teaching ourselves. We need to be hearing some strong teaching. It is very important that a Christian separate himself from the world to the point to where that he lives godly and he does these teachings and teaches that which is right. That which is right for us to receive that home in heaven. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Before we go to verse 2, think about this. Reasonable. What God is asking us to do is not unreasonable. You know, sometimes we think that, boy, we got to be different from these people, the way we dress, the way we act, and the way we speak. That's really, you know, it's a reasonable request. It's nothing hard. He tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove that which is good, which is perfect, which is acceptable unto God. Luke 10:27-28. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Love the Lord. Does anyone know that you're a disciple of Christ? Think about it. Do you want to go to heaven? I know I do. I believe that you want to go too, because you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't. I truly believe that all of us here have that desire to go to heaven. To go to heaven, we're going to have to act godly. We're going to have to look different, act different. Do you love God? Do you love Him enough to be willing to do the things that He has asked us to do? He hasn't asked us to do nothing that is beyond our reach. He's asking us to do just the simple things of life, the things that really are good in life, that make you a better person. He's asking us to do these simple, simple things. In Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. I want to read these verses and read along with me. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Think about it. Think about the life that we have to live and the example that we have to set before others. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The bottom line, do you live different from those that are out in the world? Think about this. It does matter how we live. We can come here and meet every time the church door is open. And we can leave from here and go out into the ways of the world and act like people of the world. We're not going to receive that home in heaven. It's a plain and simple fact. A person that is going to be in that place called heaven is a person that has been willing to turn their life over to Jesus and follow that which He has given us as examples in His holy word. The problem is with our hearts. We want to be godly. We want to go to heaven. We want Him to be merciful on us. We want Him to give us all of these things. But a lot of us are not willing to give back to Him that which He is asking. And it is very little. Very little. Think about this. The next time, you know, you get ready to go to church and maybe you've got a little headache, you don't feel good, and maybe some that say, well, I'm going to stay home today. Think about Jesus. You reckon Jesus had a headache before He went to the cross? I believe He did. He was beaten before He was nailed to the cross, I'm sure. He felt pain and suffering. You know, what He did for us should move us to cause us to want to do everything in our power to be pleasing unto Him. and that means give and take. Sometimes, you know, we do things that, is against His will. His blood's there to cover us if we'll ask Him to forgive us. Sometimes, you know, we may have things and thoughts in our mind that are worldly thoughts, and we go out in the world and we act worldly, and we act like those in the world. You know, He's there. Just ask Him. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I believe that's really a very important scripture for us. If you're here tonight and you have done something in your life that is not according to that which a Christian should act, the way that a Christian should act, you need to correct it. You need to make that right. Because we don't have any promise of tomorrow, and we do have a promise that hell is for certain. We don't know when that He's coming, but we do know He's coming. We do know that we need to live right and act right. When we walk in the ways out in the world, we want to be different. We want to look different. Stand up for God's Word. If the opportunity arises, someone asks a question, stand up. Make sure that you use that opportunity to let them know who you are and what you are, that you serve the man named Jesus according to His Word. If they're doing something that is wrong, don't try to blend in with them and just kind of ease along and not say anything. They may not like you. They may even hate you. But I don't believe anybody is going to do the things that they did to the Apostle Paul. I don't believe that's going to happen. If you really love them and you love the Lord, you're going to talk to them and try to live different from them. It does make a difference as to how we live in this world. I hope maybe I said a little something that will cause us to stop and think about our life when we leave from here. A lot of times we just completely forget. We get out and we get to acting like those of the world, and there's not a lot of difference. We do need to make our life look unique, make it different. It does make a difference. If we've never obeyed the gospel, we cannot serve God. It doesn't matter how we look because we're not a Christian. A Christian is one that has been obedient unto the Lord. It's the reproduction of the life of Christ in the human heart. That's what a Christian is. One that has followed that which He has told us to do. Hear the word, believe it. Repent of our sins. Confess Christ and be buried in baptism. And when we do that, then we become a peculiar person. Then we live different. We act different. We talk different. We live a different life. We are peculiar because we look at things from godly eyes, not from human eyes, not from the way that we feel or the desires that we want. We look at it from the way that which is righteousness, that from God's Word. We'll be very careful. We'll be very careful. There's one that's never obeyed. I ask you to come forward tonight. There's one that has turned from God and been back in the ways of the world and done things that's contrary to God's will. We've made mistakes. We all do it. Every one of us. We need to correct it. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, on your sin. And the way that we do that is confess Him. Call unto Him in prayer, and He says that He will forgive us of our sins if we'll only ask Him. He says that He'll wipe that slate clean. You know, a Christian is one that has their name written in that book of life. And to keep that name written in the book of life, that means that we have to live godly. And we have to continue to look upon our Lord for forgiveness of our sins, because we sin every day. Praise God. There's one here that is in need of prayer to the church. Won't you come forward and stand in front of me?